Welcome. We invite you to enjoy this Word Alive message with Pastor Edwin E. Ford of Crossroads for Life Ministries, a voice in the next move of God. We know you'll be blessed by this spoken word of God as we tune into today's message.
Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself, I told you to do something, but you want to be pseudo-humility. He says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Says, you don't want to ask me for one. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want to tag this text today with this title, The Blessing of Presence. The Blessing of Presence. Not presents. Because that's what many people have encapsulated the total Christian experience by, how many presents they get. Somebody's unhappy with a spouse today because you didn't get me the right present. There's a child that disgruntled with a parent today because I didn't get the present that I want. But if you allow me today to take you off of your own personal agendas and just talk about, there's something bigger than presents, and it's his presence. The blessing is presence. Father God, we thank you today. Pray right now, God, in this time of solemn assembly, that you would think through my mind and speak through my vocal cord. Father, let it be none of me and all of you today, God. I pray right now that the spirit of Christmas is alive and well and in the hearts of every believer today. God, let that joy, the joy of the Lord that gives strength, the joy that this season should bring, overshadow anything the devil tries this year. I declare every burden removed and every yoke be destroyed by the anointing of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank God. You may be seated in the house of God. There is a word of hope to the believer in this season is, we are not in it alone. I don't know what you might be in this morning, but the word of God is before us today to let us know that whatever you're in, you're not in it by yourself. That's what the Christmas message is. No matter what landscape you may find yourself in it, Christmas reminds us you're not in this thing. Yeah, by yourself. Everyone loves to get presents. I love presents. It's wonderful. We look forward to the exchanging of gifts among ourselves. People, as terms of endearment, express it in the weight of gifting that they do for one another. But during these holidays, we should not only love and appreciate gifts and presents, but even more, as believers, we should have love and appreciate the abiding presence that Jesus Christ provides. This is what separates this holiday from the rest of the world, is our understanding of it. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Your understanding of a thing makes you happy when others are sad. See, Christmas, it's not only the Christmas season that God is with us, because God has promised not just to be with us in this month of December, but God is now, because of this day and season, has promised us to be with us 24/7. Always. Even till the end of this age. And just as there are benefits in receiving gifts and presents from people, there are also benefits in receiving the living presence of God in our lives. The promise from the Old Testament, if you would put up Exodus 33:12, the promise that was given even before Christ came was not necessarily of things and rings. It's not necessarily of houses and land. The promise that God made to his servant Moses, that he conveyed to his people, that was preeminent over every other promise. And because of the level of their spirituality, they understood that was the blessing. The blessing wasn't the benefits. Many times we confuse the two. With the blessings and the blessing. He says that Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know who thou shalt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace," if I got real favor with you, hallelujah. If I've got the anointing on my life, like you say I do, you know. He says, "Now show me now the way that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Verse 14. And he said, God said, "My presence," not my position, not my angels, no, "I'm going to give you the best I got, my presence." This is the sign that we need in our lives that the Lord is truly going to do what he says. What authenticates the Bible is not just the law of Scripture. What authenticates the Bible is what goes with this Bible. It's not a book of history. It's not a book of poetry. It's not a book of law. Though it has it, this is not what makes the Bible the Bible. What makes the Bible is what goes with the Bible. Glory to God. The batteries are included in this book right here. What makes this book so powerful, because Jesus said that, he said that in my word are spirit. You better hear me right now. You can quote all the great theologians and the great philosophers of our age and day, but what makes this thing here powerful right here, he said that these words have me with it. It comes with Jesus. They are spirit and they are life. He says, you're going to know that this thing is of God, because my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Glory to God. You trying to worry about what toys you're going to be able to buy your child. You trying to worry about how to make everybody happy. You trying to worry about what you're going to get the meal together. But listen to me. Merry Christmas. God is with you. Glory to God. Amen. You trying to get a cosigner on a loan? Forget the cosigner. Get God, baby. If I can get God with me, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Listen. It is Christmas time. A time we consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. You got the Christmas carolers. You got the concerts. You got the office parties. Everybody's seemingly in a festive mood. People spending money they would not necessarily spend any other time of the year. But this time of the year, we take the locks off the wallets. Pocketbooks fly open during Christmas time. You can't get nowhere. You can't shoot down the road now at Christmas time, no. You got to plan that thing out because folk getting out because they want to show how much they love each other. When we think of Christmas time, those traditionalists, we imagine the manger. The manger, see, you know, when it used to be on the front lawns, used to have the manger. Nowadays, I don't know what Christmas they celebrate. What Christmas symbol is this? NASCAR? What NASCAR got to do with Christmas? But there was a time that we saw the manger scene. We saw Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus gather with all the animals, all in the store windows. And all, it was very picturesque to see that. It was evidence that we're in that season, the most wonderful time of the year. I believe there was a movie, Jimmy Stewart had a movie. Thank you, Mother. I shall wipe that. I threw my glasses off. Everybody out of here never seen 8 million times. Somebody say, wonderful. Hallelujah. But you know, according to Scripture, it was not the most wonderful time of the year. The Bible Christmas is not, it was not a wonderful time. It was the time where King Herod, who heard and perceived there was a king coming to dethrone him. At hearing of this, Herod now orders the death or abortion of all young boys, 2 years of age and under. During those 12 days of Christmas, you know, a partridge in a pear tree wasn't what you thought it was. Those 12 days of Christmas were horrific days. Because during that day, that tragedy, they call it in liturgical circles, the Holy Innocents, which commemorated the death of all of these children without a cause. So Advent and Christmas are not so happy, at least not in the way we would like to think, which is probably a good thing because, face it, all is not calm in our world now. We're living in a day in the church where statistics, alarming statistics, have come up to say over, since the COVID era, pandemic, over 40 million Christians have left the church. Okay, yeah, that don't bother you at all. I said over 40 million Christians. Look around. Somebody who was here is not here. And so we can look microscopically at our own church, but imagine telescopically when you look at the body of Christ, over 40 million Christians have walked away from God. I know that they're camouflaging and masking it with we're now online. But believe me, everybody ain't online. And because you're online don't mean you're still in God. I can only imagine the day trying to watch the service and you doing everything in the house. It's hard enough to pay attention while you in church. When you're at home where you can do any and everything, Satan gonna make sure that though it may be in your ears, it's not getting in your heart. 40, 40 million Christians. Bible did say it was going to be a great falling away. Glory to God. This time is why I believe a lot of Christians receive the vitriol it does, because certain sects of society, even to the point where Christians themselves attempt to demonify Christians. Oh, it's all about money. It's all about this. It's all. Hold up. We forgot about the main thing. They do anything because really, it's their heart. They don't want to give. They don't want to love on anybody. So if I can belittle this enough, I won't have to do anything. Come on, just tell the truth. Tell the truth. You don't want to buy nobody nothing. So if I can kill the Christian spirit, I can keep my $2 in my pocket. We make it a racial thing. Oh, that's the white man holiday. That's the thing that your parents allowed you to celebrate. We take away even the fantasy of Christmas. We don't kill Chris Kringle, but you still won't praise Jesus. I'm good if you're going to kill Chris Kringle, but at least give God some glory. Hallelujah. Help. Yes, the Bible and life are correct. That this is not a wonderful time. Some folks today are dealing with the loss of at a major cost. May not have a visit your home, but there's somebody who's dealing with the loss of a home. They're displaced. We have homeless ministry. Somebody who last year this time were cuddled and nestled up in a nice home that belonged to them, they thought. But today have been displaced. Because of time and attrition. Someone's dealing with the loss of a job. They were gainfully employed just a year ago. And now they could have never imagined that they'd be struggling like they are financially at Christmas time. There's some who are for the first time without a loved one. It's a good reason, y'all, why a lot of people are not happy at Christmas time. Christmas really, church, isn't a holiday in a traditional sense. But Christmas really serves as a reminder to show this, or show what this season is really like. Christmas, in the midst of sorrow and anger, even in the midst of darkness that covers this world, this is when Christ arrives. Get this picture now. Get this picture. In this season, not necessarily the holiday, but in the darkest season that the earth has ever gone through, this is when Christ arrives. For some of you, if you take away December 25th, tell me when Christ arrived in your life. Well, sleigh bells rain, don't you listen? Hear the rain, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, you're happy tonight. Well, you walking in a winter wonderland? Well, you in a place where everything was going well with you when Christ arrived? Ooh, when Jesus showed up in your life, tell me what the context was. I need to hear your Christmas service. I want to hear the story of your Christ Mass, when God became a part of your life, when they gave you the gift of Jesus, when you found out that he was born and all you had to do is to receive him. Tell me what Christmas was in your life. I tell you, it wasn't nice. It wasn't nothing nice about my life when God showed up, when Jesus showed up in my life. Hallelujah. When I celebrated my first Christmas, it was all things going to hell but God. Jesus came to my life and he made a difference. Woo, in my life. Jesus was born. Listen, it was Christmas was birth in a world that's full of sadness and peril. That event told us God would be, oh my, I'm trying to finish this thing, that God would be with us in good times and Christmas tells us something, hallelujah, that at the worst of time is the best of times. Tell your neighbor, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. For many in religion has done a bad job of this, has purported the sentimental side of faith, which is incomplete but not incorrect now. What many times people use to bring others to God is the sentimental side of faith. Happy, happy. Joy, joy. They sell a gospel that is borderline illegitimate. I know it is because when people get into faith, then they find out it ain't all that. This is how the world sells relationship. They only tell you about the ups. But nobody shares with you about the down, because it's not the ups that cause you to break up. It's the downs that keep you on a breakdown. And so this Christmas story isn't just the manger and shepherds and the baby Jesus. It's not just about being meek and mild. But the Christmas story is also about the rage of Herod. Herod represents to us the enemy. Time in your life when the enemy is enraged and is slaughtering innocent people. It's about a time where that the myrrh that appears to be a blessing was really used at that time to prepare bodies for the grave. Y'all know that. I know you got your frankincense and myrrh. I know you're going down to Macy's and got your new y'all cologne sets. Come on now. But the reason why they had myrrh there, and the purpose of myrrh, was evidence something died. Something is going to be lost. Hey, God. And I need it to help me get through this time of loss. Y'all ain't here, man. Glory to God. Thank God for frankincense, but God still put some myrrh there too. Because though you may gain in this season, you may lose in this season. Job stated it this way. He says in Job's second chapter, the 10th verse, he's told, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips?" In all of this, in what he said, he wasn't wrong. We gladly embrace the good. But can you handle the other side of it? Can you embrace God taking as much as you embrace God giving? Let me go ahead and answer for you. No, you can't. Okay. Don't get religious this morning. No, you can't handle it. And because he knew you couldn't handle it, guess what he did? He sent you Jesus. You ain't got to be super religious. You ain't got to be all deep. No, there's going to be some loss, but don't worry about it. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. In the midst of your dilemma, God said, I'm going to send you some hope. Even in the midst of your brokenness, I'm going to send you help. Even when the enemy seems like he's winning, God said, I'm going to help you in this time of your life. What makes this time wonderful is not the sentimental Christmas that is marketed and sold to us. What makes this time wonderful is that God stands with us during the darkest days. It is that hope, David said, when his soul was in derision. He said, hope thou in God. When everything in your life seems to fade away, you got a hope that passes all understanding. This hope can make all the difference, and it is the only hope that matters. So those who are not having a good time this year, to those who are smiling today in church but you're really hurting on the inside, for those who I'm here but I really ain't into it, I got some good news for you. God, Emmanuel, is standing with you. His birth over 2,000 years ago reminds us of this, that we are not in it alone. I know, I didn't give you no praise. I didn't heal your cancer. Oh, glory to God. But I want to let you know, if you got cancer, you're not in it alone. I know your broken heart don't feel better than it did when you walked in the door, but if you really believe in Jesus, you got hope that he can heal your broken heart. I don't know what you brought in here today. I don't know what you got to deal with when you get home, but I just come to tell you, Emmanuel is here. Glory to God. The anticipation to celebrate the sign of hope, as the prophet Isaiah predicted, whose message was very clear when he said to Ahaz that this will be a time to repent, a time to renew, and a time to return to God. I'm going to say, what is Christmas? What is he telling me? He says, when this sign shows up, it's going to give you an opportunity to, number one, repent, renew your walk, renew your fellowship. Christmas is all, I know you're wonderful getting the gifts and the presents, but it also shows there's a time now because Jesus is here. You can go ahead and repent of everything. Amen. To the one who can give forgiveness of sin. Now everything that was wrong in your life, God, so you get a chance to get it right today. I know this is non-traditional. I know we never looked at Christians like this. Glory to God. But God said, because Emmanuel is here now, you can go ahead and repent. Confess your faults. Hallelujah. And he is here now. I know you done told people you're sorry and it ain't got no better. But that ain't, because they can't do nothing for you. But I know someone that if you repent today, he can change your situation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked way. Emmanuel is here. Glory to God. You ain't got to send for him. He here right now. Glory to God. If I could just tell God I'm sorry. See, when you repent now, he says, now Christmas is the time for you to renew. Somebody say renew. Glory to God. It's time for y'all to renew our relationship with God. You ain't got to wait until January 1st. Christmas was the time of renewal. This is why they came there from all over the world, because they were trying to renew their relationship with God. They had literally been through 400 years without God. Now, the Bible said we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's time to get our lives back on track. I ain't got to wait till January 1st. That starts at Christmas. time of renewal. And after I renew, it's a time to return. It's time to go back and pick up first works now. Now the thing that you were struggling to do that you couldn't do, now because Jesus is with you, I can do all things through Christ. Come on now. Now the thing that the devil may have defeated you in, but baby, I got a gift. I got the presence of the Lord. I might have ran the last time, but I'm running at you this time because the Lord is on my side and I will not fear. This is my Christmas season. Y'all better hear me. This is so last in December. Christmas is every day of my life. No matter what I go through, new things I declare before they spring forth, because I've got a new leaf on life. This is my season. This is my day. Glory to God. Sign that God gave the prophet Isaiah is Emmanuel. Go with me to the book of Matthew 1:22. Matthew 1:22. The sign that he gave him is Emmanuel. He says, because this is going to happen. Whether you have gotten to the place like this man Ahaz, that he had lost all hope. See, when you get to the place where you lose all hope, that means you got no more vision. See, Christmas is heavy on people who have lost all hope. They don't believe it's ever going to get any better anymore. I don't care what you cook. I don't care what you give them. They done lost all hope. But God says, whether you lost all hope or not, Christmas going to happen. Because it's somebody who going to believe. It's somebody that going to believe that this baby boy is able to save you. I know you might not be the ones. You may be working with Herod right now, trying to kill all the joy of the Lord. But hold up, baby. God said you can't kill what God done kept. You can't touch what God gonna give. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against this thing here. Elijah was the prophet of Christmas. He says, now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He spoke in code in the Old Testament. Many didn't understand what he was talking about, but what he was trying to tell King is, your sign is that his presence will be with you. The sign that you know that the Lord is on your side is not by the sin by blessings you got. The sign is that God himself has shown up in my life. Thank you for a good doctor. Thank you for a good banker. Thank you for a good lawyer. But the reason why I got confidence and this evidence that I'm going to have my victory is because the Lord showed up himself. Y'all ain't here. Glory to God. You ain't wait for nobody to come by the house in prayer. God already showed up. Emmanuel is here. Glory to God. If ain't nobody come, nobody. If nobody don't give you no gift this year, the Lord is here. And he's able. And he's able to keep me from falling. And he's able to heal my disease. And he's able to give me joy and sorrow, hope for tomorrow. The Lord is on my... You don't understand the gift that keep on giving. Sign that God gave him. That Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our sign of deliverance and hope. And it has been fulfilled. What the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, that this virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, means God is with us. But now, not Emmanuel. Listen, and I'm about to close because I see you're ready to go. But you need to hear this. Emmanuel is not his name. He will be, when they use that word name, he will be referenced or called Emmanuel. But his name is not Emmanuel. So don't go preach the t-shirts up yet. It's not his first name. It's not his second name. It was not his third name. That word Emmanuel, in my studies, it's simply a description. Well, his name is not Jesus Christ Emmanuel Williams III. When you hear the name Emmanuel, it's a description of who Jesus is. Now, for instance, some people call me pastor. But pastor is not my name. My name is not Edwin Earl Pastor Ford. No. Pastor is the work or a description of the work that I do here at the church. Emmanuel lets us know that God is with us. That when you say Emmanuel, you're saying that God is with us. When you know that God is with you, then the significance of God now matters in your life. Because there was a time, the reason why it's significant was because there was a time that God was not with us. There was a time in the Bible that God just allowed us. He allowed us to worship. He allowed us to prophesy. He allowed us to say things on his behalf. They were allowable, but they were not ever ready. They were allowed, but there was not a constant in the lives of a Christian. The Bible said that it was a time when God would visit Adam in the Garden of Eden. There was a time that he would meet Moses on top of the mountaintop. There was a time he would give prophecy to Elijah and to the prophets. There was a time that he would cause men to write scripture. Men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These were dispensations that these men experienced from time to time. But now God has become Emmanuel to them. Now God is not just there every now and then to do something supernatural or spectacular. He didn't just show up to open up the mouths of, open up the lion's den. He did not show up as the fourth man in the fire. Now God is there all the time. He will never be separated from man again. From this point forward, our relationship with God will be constant. The writer, the Christian in Hebrews writes, in Hebrews 13 and 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes once he comes into your life. He never removes himself from you ever again in existence. Paul says in Romans 8, 38, he referenced Emmanuel without saying Emmanuel. He said, I will let nothing separate me from the love of God. Come on, Christmas, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, no things present. No things come. Stop at that. There's somebody here today that you have allowed things to come in and separate you and not understanding who Emmanuel is. I don't care what the devil is trying to whisper in your ear. When you receive Emmanuel, when you embrace this season for the purpose that God has given us this season. You'll never have a sad day that you know that God couldn't bring it up. You'll never have a broke day that God can't repay everything you lost. You'll never have a sick day that God cannot heal, because you understand Emmanuel is with you now. Somehow God has allowed it to cause the allowance to become permanent. It was just an allowance, but God made the allowance a permanent part of your life. And from that point forward, he will never be separated from men again. This is why the devil says, I better get rid of him before he get here, because if he ever get here, I can't do nothing with him. That's why I'm not mad at people who say once saved, always saved, because what they believe, that once Emmanuel truly comes in your life, you will never be sick again. You will never be broke again. Believe God, church. Believe. My word to the church for this Christmas season is believe. Because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every time. Because of this permanent blessing that I got in my life, that the devil, no weapon, y'all didn't hear me, no weapon formed against me will ever be able to prosper. The Lord is on my side. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. You ain't got to fear no sickness if you believe that Emmanuel is with you. Come on. I know his name, but do you know his presence? I'm done. This is the insider information. That ain't just about the presence. It's about the presence. He gave us something that sickness can't separate you from. Come on now. He gave us something that even death. Do you understand that once you get Emmanuel, though you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord? Do you understand? If you got Emmanuel with me, he says, if you believe me, you will never die. You don't understand. You got to understand, when this tabernacle that's made with stone starts to dissolve, I got a tabernacle in heaven. Don't you understand that in my Father's house, there are many mansions? If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you where I am. Y'all ain't hear me. Y'all understand Christmas. Where I am, you gonna be also. You'll never be. You are seated in heavenly places in Emmanuel. He is with you right now. No matter what the devil comes with, the Lord is on you. Understand? Tell your neighbor, Merry Christmas. You got the greatest gift. You got people to give you something, and they call them any of them. They'll take it back from you. If they don't like you, they'll take it back from you. If you don't do what you tell them to do, but I got Emmanuel. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me. He'll be with me all. Y'all, old quartet said, I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I want to ask you, do you have Jesus? Because if you got Jesus, you got Emmanuel. The sign that you got favor ain't what you got in your bank account, because that can leave you. The sign that you got favor ain't all the people at your house waiting on you. They didn't want to go to church, but they waiting at home for you. That before you get back home, they can leave and you won't be there. But to know that you receive Emmanuel. I heard him sing the song. I said, I didn't tell Mr. when I heard that song, Emmanuel, this morning. I said, oh, my God, you just confirmed my message. And your response to it is confirmed and more, because you don't even want it. But if you get this word head here, the enemy can't do with you, because I got Emmanuel. You have to do all that name dropping. All I got to do is say, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. I don't need nobody to come and vouch for me. I don't need anybody to come. Emmanuel is with me. God is with you. Y'all ain't hearing me. Glory to God. Friends gonna leave you. Family gonna leave you, but God. How you know you're gonna make it out as a man? Because God is with us. How y'all gonna recover from this? This is one of the worst years of your life because of Emmanuel. Glory to God. My money is funny, my change strange, but Emmanuel. The reason the business can't go down ain't because I know what I'm doing, it's because Emmanuel. See, you didn't see that name on the business license. See, when I signed the license, it wasn't just Elvin signing, Emmanuel was signing. And he has never failed. And because he has never failed, I will never. Y'all ain't him. Y'all ain't understand. You understand? You understand? All scripture has been underwritten because of one thing, Emmanuel. It's not because you're smart enough, intelligent enough, pretty enough. It don't matter all of that. The reason why you ain't because of your underwriter. Who underwritten is Emmanuel? He said, I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am the one that's going to provide everything. Y'all didn't hear me. I didn't say everything. I said everything you need because hey, there's too much on this bill. Don't worry about it. Man, you don't got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's too much to bear. I think I'm about to lose my mind. Don't worry about it. I got you, baby. I'll keep you in perfect peace because your mind is staying on him. Hallelujah. Tell him he got it. He got it. He got it. It's his choice, so it's his voice. Glory to God. He got it. He'll make a way from me. He'll open doors that you shut in my face. Emmanuel, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. And if any man will open, he'll come on in. And tell somebody that look kind of funny this morning. Tell them, Merry Christmas. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. You won't even understand. Some of you got to go to the doctor this week. Before you go, take this with you. Merry Christmas. Glory to God. They don't know what he's talking about. Hallelujah. They don't know what I just put. I just gave you a holy handshake, and you don't even know it, Tom. I just gave you a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. I just gave you a wheel in the middle of the wheel. I just gave you glory that the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. Emmanuel, God is with us. Somebody shout Merry Christmas. Somebody shout Merry Christmas. The Lord is on my side. Merry Christmas. This is going to be the greatest year of my life. Merry Christmas. Everything I touch is going to prosper. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Go on and finish the chillings. Listen. Everything. Everything. He said, this will be the sign your life about to flip. This is the sign that you're about to get a turnaround. Well, my presence is going to show up. See, some of y'all, this seems foreign to you because you don't understand the presence of God. Some of you are going to be like, what do you mean the presence? So you never experienced it before. When he comes in the room, see, if you ever experience the tangible, now, we know theoretically, he's always everything. He's the move. That's unmoved. We understand that God is here. And that solidifies my faith. But what motivates my now, and not then, I feel the Spirit. I feel the Spirit. And he's moving in this place. Every now and then, I can feel the brush of angel wings. I can see glory on his face. Surely, the presence, every now and then, of the Lord is in this place. And that's called experience. And the sad thing about it, most Christians never had an experience with the presence of God, the awe of God, the glory of God. See, there's a reference you have when you start talking about Jesus. that something happens to us when we sing song, when I see Jesus. Amen. All of my problems, all of my disappointments will all be when I see Jesus. Hey, amen. The one who died for me. He hung and bled for me.
Hung and bled for me.
Hey, hey. Amen.
Amen. All of my trials, every burden will be over when I see Jesus. When I see Jesus. When I see Jesus.
I'm just talking about folks that have a relationship.
Hey. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message of Jesus Christ. Please join us for one of our life-changing services. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thursday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. For more information on this ministry, log on to crossroadsforlife.com. And as always, remember, choose life.